stick a pony in my pocket. I'll fetch the suitcase from the van. Cause if you want the best, then you don't ask questions, then brother, I'm your man. Cause where it all comes from is a mystery. It's like the changing of the seasons and the tides of the sea. But he's the one that's driving me berserk. Why do only fools and horses work? La 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 la, la 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 la, 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 la.
Sorry,
I did not know how I held it
that long.
I can hear him
going. Au revoir to you. Welcome to the latest Jolly Boys podcast with me, Tom.
James.
And Bailey.
Unfortunately, we are one Jolly Boy down this week. Ed can't be with us, but we'll soldier on.
With us in spirit.
He's with us in spirit. Maybe with us over WhatsApp as well, if we can get some input.
We've got a bottle of cloudy lemonade here, sat in his place, because it's his favourite drink.
Might as well leave the bottle down here.
Anyway, so this week we're talking about No Greater Love, so we're on series two still. We don't do these podcasts as frequently as we like, but we're here, so we'll make the most of it.
Yeah.
Thanks very much for all the lovely feedback on Twitter and Facebook. We really appreciate it. And we've had a few raving reviews on iTunes, guys. I don't know if you've had a chance to have a look.
I haven't had a look, no.
No, I haven't seen it.
Some good ones,
we've had some glowing feedback.
No more one stars?
No, those days are long gone. I think you can now do half stars. I'm not sure, but today we've got a huge Only Fools and Horses and John Sullivan fan calling in called Sam, so we're really looking forward to having a chat with him. We were supposed to talk to him last week, but unfortunately our podcast got postponed to today. So yeah, it's been something to look forward to.
No Greater Love synopsis. Rodney's fallen for an older woman, Ira McKay, but it's not just the age difference that's bothering Del. It's her nutter husband who's just done time for attempted murder and GBH. Rodney's not happy with his brother's meddling, even when Del takes a beating on his behalf. What are your memories of first watching this episode?
Do you like the episode?
Yeah, I love the episode. I think it's fantastic. Cool. I think, obviously, the scene where Del gets beaten up for his brother Rodney, that's quite an important part, I think, isn't it, of the Only Fools and Horses series, showing what lengths Del will go to protect his brother.
Yeah.
And throughout the other episodes, it's always sort of Del taking advantage of him almost. And although he does take advantage of him in this episode with the coat. The coat's obviously nowhere near his size. Yeah, it looks like it's made to measure. Yeah, for someone else. But can I ask you a question, Tom?
Go on.
Have you been ill recently?
I wish.
What about you, James?
No, I haven't been ill, Sam.
But what are your earliest memories of this episode?
I quite like the episodes. I'm not a massive fan of it. It's not one I'd particularly go back to watch, I'd say. It's probably one of the weaker ones for me.
You'll still give it an 8 out of 10, though, won't you?
Probably a 9.
9.5.
Yeah, so it's a good episode. It's a little bit different because there's a couple more characters. Although we never see these characters again, it's quite interesting to bring a couple fresh characters into the mix. And you can kind of really see how Del works.
Yeah, that's true. It's quite emotionally driven, isn't it?
Yeah, you see both sides really, because he's basically taken Irene out for a drink and sold son a coat, but then he has taken a beating for Rodders. It's a good episode, but it's not one I'd rush to watch again.
I think it's quite bittersweet, isn't it? Because Rodney's happy in a relationship, he's actually found a woman, and Dale's trying his best to break that relationship up, isn't he?
For good reason, but I think Rodney's been known to like the younger woman. You know, there's been some quite dodgy jokes about that, hasn't there? Like how they wouldn't let her in without an adult line that Albert says and stuff. But this time around, it's the other way. He's going out for a much older bird.
When they talk about the school children as well.
So it's one of those things where it's flipped the other way.
Not one to go too far ahead, but at the end of this episode, Rodney leaves the scene with a new girlfriend.
Yeah.
But whenever has Rodney been that successful with women? It's strange, isn't it? Because he's always used to struggle to find girlfriends.
Yeah, but I think that bird he meets at the end, and we'll get to it, is probably a bit younger than him in that. I think he's more successful with younger girls because women of, you know, teenage girls, 18, 19 or whatever, look up to Rodney, who's at the time 21, 22, see that as an older man. More successful. Exactly, yeah. More successful. So he probably can use, and he's a fairly good looking bloke, Rodney's character. Dale even quotes his boyish good charms and stuff. Boyish good charms. Boyish good looks.
Boyish good charms.
Italian footballer's legs.
Yeah. We're talking utter garbage now, aren't we?
Well, no, he does quite successful with women, if you think about it.
What, with women?
Well, you look at Debbie, she's a bit of a looker, and Cassandra, and he's not short, is he, of a date? I think they portray it when they want it, that he's a bit of a loser in love, but they can quite easily find him...
I guess so, but like Janice never really seemed interested in him, and Rodney was trying to be someone he wasn't, talking about meeting David Hockney, the artist. And
well, that's why he's been quite successful, hasn't he?
Yeah, but Cassandra's an absolute class act. She's lovely. I mean, it's all down to taste and stuff.
I don't think Janice was ever into Rodney, hence why she copped off with Del Boy when Rodney was watching the buses.
No, but...
they were only playing games.
But I just want about, like, you know, eventually he does, like, I would say meet someone nice and lovely. So he's all right. So this was broadcast on 11th of November 1982, Poppy Day.
One thing I noticed about this episode is how young Nicholas Lyndhurst looks. I don't know if he's had a haircut or something.
Yeah.
This is the other side of their job, isn't it? Door to door. You don't see much office. You always see them in a market or down the pub. But you don't see them going around selling things on the tick.
I did always think Dale's coat does look just perfectly made to measure, doesn't it?
Yeah, he must only have like that one.
Going back to what James is saying, I think it would have been really interesting to see a lot more scenes of Del and Rodney doing door to door, because they get up to the right capers, I think.
Yeah.
Del has obviously got consignment of, well, monk's leather clothing, some coats. Can you just tell me, whilst on this podcast, which other episode Del and Rodney are selling coats, prominently selling a coat of sorts? Do you remember what episode that is? I'll give you a clue, it's much later on.
No, I'm not got any idea.
I've no idea either.
The Raincoats. In Yuppie Love.
Oh, yeah. He sort of guilts Rodney into buying it and then says, I'll take out your wages.
I mean, these aren't raincoats.
It's a score you owe me.
Just goes to show how much of a good salesman Del is, because Del makes Rodney want something. He doesn't want what he was given for free. Then he decides he wants it, and Del manages to get money from his own brother for something that he never wanted in the first place.
Through sheer guilt in this instance. But we'll see later on how Del sells something that someone doesn't really want.
I think this episode just goes to show how good-hearted each of the characters are.
Brilliant manipulation from Del, isn't it? It made him think, in the end, up thanking Del for taking 20 quid off him.
Wonder where this was shot.
People looking at their front windows, seeing Fools and Horses filming live.
Yeah, it's a busy street, isn't it?
But in 1982, it wasn't anything huge, though, was it, still?
Lots of residential houses, though.
Looks like a quite nice street, doesn't it?
Kings Avenue.
Still not quite Kings Avenue, but still quite upper class compared to the Peckham's estate they're based in.
What was the name of the person they were going to see? Go and pop in and see Mrs. Is it Mrs. Singh?
Yeah.
Tartan here called Irene McKay, right? She had 17 quid's worth of clothes off you, and you're letting her pay you back at 25 pence a week, right? That means you've got to go around there every week for a year.
Yeah, I know.
I get it. Rodney's got a mystery.
I was reading the observations for this episode, and there's quite a few glaring mistakes in what I read is true. For instance, when Rodney explains to Del back at the flat about the arrangement that he's got with Irene, he works out that she pays him X amount of pence per week, which comes to a grand total of what they owe, but apparently the numbers don't add up.
Yeah, really?
Which is interesting.
That sounds like to me you'll be the rain man here, my friend. Mr. Geek.
It's not my observation, it's one that I read on a popular Only Fools and Horses website.
Is it not interest, though? Interest calculated?
Could be.
See?
See, James, thinking outside the box.
That's it.
Excuse me.
Oh.
Sorry, can you tell me if Mrs. Singh's in at all?
Mrs. Singh don't live here anymore. She moved away about 3 weeks ago. I've taken her flat.
Great. Did you say where she was moving to?
Bangladesh.
For a minute, I thought we'd lost her.
So we've just been introduced to the character Irene McKay, and presumably she was quite an attractive lady for her time of 1983.
She still is.
You think she's attractive, Tom?
Well, she's not unattractive. To me, if you put me on the spot, I wouldn't say necessarily a straight out yes, but she's, in appearance, she's quite nice.
What do you think, James?
Not for us to say, really, is it? It's of the time. It's
always one sexist animal here.
Sexist pig. So yeah, you think she's attractive then?
What I like about Rodney stepping in, was it done on purpose or not, where he sort of, his head bangs against the door, doesn't it, as it comes back to close, I recall.
I don't think I've ever noticed it.
Yeah. For the purpose of this podcast, he just walks in and looks back behind him to see if like Dell can see him or something, and the door sort of very gently knocks him on the head.
Rodney looks completely out of his depth, doesn't he? With that big coat on, carrying that suitcase.
Yeah.
Seduced by an older lady.
I love it when he sits down in that chair. He starts to relax a little bit and sees the picture.
Another thing I read in the observations as well, so the scene where Rodney enters Irene's house as a photograph of Tommy McKay on the mantelpiece. Mm-hmm. Apparently that's a completely different actor to the one we see later on in the episode.
I suspect it is, yeah.
I don't know the reason behind it.
Well, we see Irene trying on the dress or whatever. Yeah, different actor. Just seen the picture there, sorry. Mm-hmm. We're watching this as we broadcast this. Irene in the background, I always think, is that some sort of downstairs shower? But it's just a shadow effect, isn't it?
It looks like a shower curtain, isn't it? But she's getting changed in her bedroom.
Do you think that skirt's revealing?
Not in 2019, it's not. If anything, it's the opposite.
Why ain't she got a strong grip?
She's the tattoo she reminds her of, Janet Street Porter.
Yeah, she does. She looks a little bit like Janet Street Porter. I wonder if this...
Just as attractive.
Yeah, if anything. better.
I wonder if this scene here is studio.
It could be. I mean, look at that flat. It looks even older of its time in 1982. That sentence made no sense.
70s.
It looks very, I'd say it's early 70s it looks. I love it though, all part of the charm.
Looks like my nan's house.
It's very working class. If it's anything like those houses that we saw in the street, they wouldn't look like that inside of it.
No, probably not.
Even back then.
Rodney's talking about how his fashion is. Have you been ill recently?
Mm, yeah. That's not the first time that gets referenced, is it?
That's a great gag. Well, the fact that he's really skinny.
Yeah, well, Corinne Tulsa.
Yeah.
She references it. Oh, Denzel certainly does, doesn't he?
Denzel! Yeah, Rodney, we don't have funny facts again.
Him looking a bit white.
Yeah. No, he says, am I white?
Yeah, it doesn't talk about the weight, I don't think. Dan doesn't refer to Rodney's weight.
Oh, was it just Dell like teasing him, isn't it? And then Dell,
hired him out for hauntings.
Yeah, you look at my albino look bronzed. He's loving it, isn't he? Look at his face. Older woman's paying him some attention.
He's still so awkward though, isn't he? And the fact that he's been given that big coat to wear makes him look even more awkward than he normally is.
And the fact that he's still wearing it.
Yeah.
You'd take it off, wouldn't you, if you didn't like it?
Maybe he's proud of it. Maybe it makes him feel a bit more grown up.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the sort of the psychology behind it. He feels like a man now that he's wearing a coat like Dell wears. So he's going up market. Yeah. Yeah. Then we've got the upcoming racist slur, haven't we? About what he mentions about the Chinese girl that he.
I don't know if that's racist though, is it?
Which one, Kamala?
No. Well, it's all right.
Chinese girl once.
Yeah, it doesn't bother me when I have a Chinese girl once. So yeah, so like insinuating that because she was Chinese and he was white Caucasian male, everyone was staring at them, and it was
just a very casual racist thing.
Attracting lots of attention, yeah.
When you watch any kind of scene now, especially your favourite comedy, and there's a mirror in the background, I do try my best to see if you can see a boom mic in shot or camera.
Mm-hmm. Every time I've watched any Fools and Horses since, I'm always trying to look for little errors, in the corner of the screen.
They're pretty good though, aren't they, I think? Yeah. There's not many.
Pretty
just like one that makes you laugh is when Grandad goes to look in the kitchen.
Look how awkward Rodney is, he's shaking her hand.
So
as he's leaving, as he sealed the deal for the day.
How can we not mention one of his most early famous lines where they actually introduce themselves to each other by name?
Just one thing, you better tell me your name. It's going to get a bit embarrassing if I keep having to call your thingy all night.
Sorry, yeah. Rodney.
Irene.
No, Rodney. Oh, sorry.
Oh, yeah. Rodney.
No, Irene. Yeah. No, Rodney.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Classic John Sullivan rises, isn't it?
Quick, clever.
But now we got back to the flat and Dell's eating, I guess, his standard fryer, which continued until we met Raquel.
Yeah, yeah.
Oui.
Yeah? I mean, yeah.
Can I dip my bread in your egg?
Help yourself.
Thanks very much.
I think Dana Jason actually said that a lot of his work on Frost required him to eat a lot of rubbish food, because his character was quite poor health. And he'd actually eat the foods that given on the set and say put on a lot of weight. which was characters and other things like Darling Buds of May.
Yeah, yeah. Eating fryers like this was probably a regular occurrence for people in London at this sort of time.
It looks lush though.
Poverty.
Dipping that bread in the egg yolk.
It looks nice, but it doesn't do very good for your insides, does it?
Del and her granddad are overhearing Rodney's not so subtle conversation.
Oh yes, dodgy in it again. Who's that? Mickey Pearce.
Yeah, so he says it's Mickey Pearce.
They look like they're absolutely gutted.
Which in that time they wouldn't know how to deal with that kind of possibility.
It was almost like a crime, wasn't it, to be gay?
It's just ingrained in the society that's not a thing.
I can't. There's people here.
Yeah, alright. Okay. See ya. Bye.
Who was that, Rodney?
Eh? Oh, Mickey Pearce.
And the fact that Dale says he'd rather die in ignorance and find out if his own brother's
gay. Quite strong, isn't it?
Yeah.
But I think it's just Dale will feel vulnerable to how to deal with that sort of thing.
How the times have changed.
Yeah. It was only like 15 years before that it was illegal.
Yeah.
When Rodney says to Dale, can I tell you something, approximate laugh. Dale's very sort of, you know, sincere. Of course I'm in love. As soon as he says, I'm in love, and David Jason puts on that laugh, it's hilarious, isn't it? It's so unhelpful to Rodney and puts him on the spot of, like, feeling embarrassed.
Yeah, it's perfect comedy timing, isn't it? A very, very, very unexpected.
You promise me you won't laugh?
No, of course I won't.
I think I'm in love.
Survivor,
and we learn that Irene is 40. You're talking about image today of women dressing up. I think how that character's dressed up, she would looks older than 40 with the image. But now, someone who's 40 can look younger than they is. That's just my opinion. Anyway.
For me,
40's the new 20.
Yeah. Granddad's line is superb, saying even I'd have to think twice at the you know.
Oh, that was I remember the first time I saw that. I could not stop laughing.
How old is she? 20?
No, she's about 30.
What do you mean? About 30. How old is she exactly?
40.
40?
40? 40? You're not being serious, are you?
Well, what's wrong with going out with a woman of 40?
Nothing. Nothing at all, if you happen to be 50. Right, she's even too old for me.
Well, I'd have to think twice.
Granddad sits in the corner, doesn't say much, but you can tell he judges every word everybody says as I sort of move around the room.
Why said the old that. Fox,
so funny. I like the intelligence of Rodney as well, doing his little deal with Irene, so he has to keep going back and forth to our house to collect his money on this underwear or dress or whatever it was that he sold her. To Del and Granddad just found out how old Irene really is.
Because what Rodney here is about 23.
22,
20,
yeah.
I think he's in series one he says he's 23.
He's
23, 24, but I think...
He's a young 24, though, isn't he?
He's about... Nick Lyndhurst is younger than that when this is recorded. I think he's around 21 there.
So things are just going from bad to worse because Rodney has just told Dale and Grandad that Irene McKay's husband is in Parkhurst, which isn't going to go well for Rodney, considering they are they still married?
They're still married, and Dale knows that this guy will be released at some point. You know, he's not got a life sentence, he'll be out in a few years.
Well, Rodney's trying to convince him that, you don't know, he might be a warder, he might be the governor.
Well, is he?
Well, no. Well, no, he is turbotyped.
It's almost as bad as Del Boy's reaction when he finds out that Rodney's dating a cop. I think this is like a prime example of the hierarchy of the family being Del and Grandad being like the mum, the father, the mother and father figure, and Rodney being the child. Del is now saying to Rodney, if you want to keep all of your body parts intact, steer clear from Irene McKay for his own good. And Rodney's really not happy about it.
Rodney at this point wants to prove that he can handle himself, so I think Del Boy's just got to let him learn a lesson, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Well, what can he do? He can't keep him in the flat.
Well, he's like, yeah, exactly. He's like a teenager who wants to rebel. He's naturally gonna. Until Dale Boy feels that actually he could get a right hiding off him, he's gonna have to step in and sort of end it for him.
In this moment, do you think Dale would rather Rodney be, you know, gay or facing the idea of getting beaten up by an ex-convict.
She's not married at all, is she?
Oh, no, he don't live with her. Ooh. He's away.
Where?
Parkhurst.
If Dale could choose, he probably would choose the brother of the gay, yeah. I've never noticed that door before in the hallway. That's obviously a cupboard, broom cupboard of sorts.
It's not normally there, it's normally closed, just close up, isn't it? Coat rack.
What's he in there for, Rodney?
Oh, you know, this and that.
Yeah, come on, like what?
Well, like wounding with intent, GBH and attempted murder.
He's got a little bit of a temper, has he?
Dale's giving Rodney some tough love, isn't he? And you see it quite a bit, don't you, throughout the earlier series of them having an argument and Rodney storming out. Dale's convinced, isn't he, that it's not going to work out, so there's no issue there, I don't think.
No.
Rodney's got a history of not being able to hold down a relationship. To do something
to... Which to be the case anyway.
To balls it up.
Rodney's on it. We're in the Nag's Head now. Rodney's got a fag in one hand, glass of whiskey in the other. He's got some bad news, hasn't he?
He looks really depressed, doesn't he?
Still wearing a coat. He's still quite...
That's quite funny that he's still wearing a coat.
Yeah. But he probably thinks that is charmed Irene quite a lot.
It is, isn't it? The coat has got a lot to do with this episode. When you sort of break it all down, you realise...
Yeah, it's chucked on the floor.
It's like a power blanket, isn't it?
And in the background, what we'll learn shortly is Dale has come up with a bit of a scheme to protect his brother, although Rodney won't see it as that, of course.
Did you notice how precious Dale was with his coat when he took it off then?
Mm-hmm.
So we're talking about the scene where Dale sits next to Rodney and he asks him what's the matter, why is he looking so depressed? And the way Dale Boy takes off of his coat, he folds it over gently and he delicately places it down. He takes so much care into it. Mm. And that's another scene that we revisit during the fight.
Mm. Yeah.
I think that infuriates him and gives him the energy to fight
strange,
back to beat Tommy McKay when he throws his coat into the wet.
I think he was perfectly willing to reason with Tommy McKay at that point.
Yeah.
And when he got his coat wet.
That was it.
Yeah.
He saw red, didn't he?
I like to have seen I'm going to get to that scene, but I like to have seen the damage that Tommy had from Dale. Because Dale would have given us something back, although it was 2v1, wasn't it?
Or maybe even 3. You don't know, he was hiding down the alleyway. So when we first saw this scene here, we thought Dale is being lovely to his brother. He's reassuring him and letting him know everything happens for a reason. It wasn't going to work out anyway and blah, blah, blah. But little do we know, or did we know, that he has been speaking to Irene's son.
Yeah.
Which has led to the whole breakup.
Do you remember his name before the scene comes?
Yeah, I do. Go on.
Yeah?
Go on. Daniel?
Marcus?
Yeah.
Marcus.
Daniel. It's Marcus, Daniel. Yeah. I wonder if John Sullivan needed an actor to have that kind of haircut for the one-liner joke that Dale comes out with. Being able to pick up BBC Two with his hair.
Probably.
Well, that's not fluky, is it?
Of the time, cultural reference as well. Go down the roller disco.
Yeah.
Don't see many roller discos now, do you?
No.
You ever been to a roller disco, Bailey?
I've been to a few roller discos.
Really?
Yeah, good times. Just as this scene's about to finish with Dale and Rodney, Rodney cleverly picks up saying, "How did you know Irene's son was called Marcus?"
Yeah.
Well, no, how did he know
your name was
Dale? Because I'm wearing a D, isn't it?
Yeah.
Rodney starts to panic.
And he's really rooting for Dale, like, "Come on, Dale, come bring out the bag. Any excuse, just get out of there."
Yeah. Obviously, this was during the punk era of the 80s.
Yeah.
Smart looking kid, isn't he, eh? I reckon he can pick up BBC Two on that air.
So people like you separate from those wallies.
Yeah. Dale is pretty fearless, though. He's willing to say that in front of, a gang of whatever.
It's que sera sera, as the French say. Anyway, our old man was released yesterday, so it saves you from all that, didn't it?
Yeah, you're right. Look, I'm sorry if I've been a bit of a pain lately.
No, of course you ain't, no.
Oh, do leave off. Look at me, I've been acting like a right wally.
Boy, no, I don't want you talking like that, Rodney. Emotions that you've been experiencing are the things that separate you from those morons. It just shows that you're a human being in the fullest sense of the word. Proves you've got a heart, Rodney. And them feelings deserve respect, dignity. Don't feel ashamed of them, feel proud.
Cheers, Dad.
It's all right. I'll get our drinks, eh?
Yeah.
What's up with him?
Oh, some old tart's giving him the sack. You know what he's like, don't you?
And just like that, Rodney's over it.
That's brilliant, isn't it? What's the barmaid's name? Is it Joycey?
No, that's not Joycey.
He's a bit of an old dog. Yeah. And then again, I like old dogs.
That's brilliant writing there again by John Sullivan, the fan.
They've
had this heart to heart there, which is quite an intimate scene. The camera's nice and close, you're sort of feeling what they're feeling. And Del gets up and just says to the barmaid, oh, some old tarts giving the boot.
I'm trying to think of that barmaid's name now, because in A Losing Streak, you know when Dale's showing off and ordering a round of drinks?
Yeah.
And he addresses her by name, doesn't he? Julie. Yeah, Julie.
Yeah, it's Julie. So Irene Stein has just walked in now, and he's very noticeable because he's got his sort of spiky mohawk punk 80s hairstyle. And he walks in and says, right, Dale.
Rodney, the clock's just slowly ticking in his head.
Surprised he caught on that quick. I would have thought he'd be too down in the dumps to really bother about that kind of reference.
Well, Dale's picked him up. I think Dale's trying to hurry him out now before he clocks on. How did Marcus know you're 9?
I'm going to say it. Dale is looking so smart in this
episode.
I know you haven't. I thought I'd do it for you. I think everything he's
worn. I was going to say earlier when he wore his black t-shirt.
Yeah, just look. I mean, I'd wear that now.
Yeah, he does look pretty dapper, doesn't he?
And the coat as well. Marcus is wearing one of the coats, which Dale...
We're all wearing them, aren't we?
Yeah.
That's a fatal error though, isn't it, on Dale's behalf? Yeah. He didn't really think that through.
But he wanted to know that he'd walk in there and, like, give the game away as such.
How did Marcus know your name?
You introduced us, didn't you, eh?
Oh, I just said you was my brother. I didn't say your name.
Oh, well, he must have heard it before somewhere, mustn't he?
He's never met you before.
Well, he must have seen my D. Look, I'm wearing a big D, ain't I, eh? It's obvious my name's Dale, isn't it?
That could stand for David, Daniel, Douglas. He's wearing one of your coats.
No, Dad. We're all wearing them, aren't we, eh? Look, it's a fashion, isn't it, eh? Come on, let's go.
Oi, Marcus, how did you know his name?
I met him on Thursday when he took Mum out for a drink.
You'd be so annoyed, wouldn't you? You'd be furious.
Well, at this point, he's probably thinking, has he just told me to get rid of her so that he can get out of her?
But this has happened with Janice as well, isn't it? Like,
yeah.
Since the first time. When we get to the end of the episode, when he sees Dale duffed up, Dale's got too much class to say why he took a beating, and then he just...
But I think that Rodney's... He went out of Janice, he was literally just trying to get in her pants, wasn't he?
Yeah.
But this one, he thinks he's in love.
It's true, actually. He's in it for one thing, from what I could see.
It was different.
Just exciting.
Rodney's broken up. At least one of Dale's relationships, hasn't he? Especially with Pauline.
Second time round.
Yeah, so they kind of both look out for each other, don't they, in that respect. So Rodney's just stormed out of the Nag's Head because he's just he's furious with Dale. Everyone in the pub is just looking at Dale like he's...
So Dale has another customer, he's selling one of these coats to him. He's rather cleverly gripping from the back, isn't he? To make it feel like it fits.
Like a glove.
he's just so sneaky, isn't he?
Made for you. But he's probably sold the one to Rodney a bit cheaper, like 20 quid, probably like 25 quid.
Yes, it was made for you, Ahmed, my son.
It's too big, man.
That Asian guy who just sold that coat to looked so pleased with himself, didn't he? Dale was walking away, but you could actually see the proper size of it.
Yeah. We're almost at the final scene, really, or the second last scene. Dale is being confronted by a person in the street, the back streets, and we're wondering what's going on here.
One of Tommy McKay's henchmen, by the looks of things.
Yeah.
McKay's the name. Tommy McKay. Ring a bell, does it?
Are you really feeling sorry for
Dale? Stay still, otherwise you might hurt yourself.
Yeah. McKay's the name. Tommy McKay. Now, I think this actor was in Porridge as a baddie as well.
I think so.
Yeah, he was, yeah.
He was a northern actor, which still is. So he's very much been typecast, hasn't he? His agent's obviously gotten this gig. Quite a good gig to have.
Big bloke.
Yeah.
Great scene, the way it's lit.
Yeah.
He submerges from the shadows, Tommy McKay, doesn't he?
Now, what do you think is going through Dale's head in this moment before he realises they're after Rodney?
I think he's thinking he can talk his way out of this one.
He's probably thinking, I sold him something and it's gone wrong. Or I've mixed him, are they anything to do with the Driscolls? Are they rivals?
I don't know, because it sounds like I got the impression Irene and Dooney just sort of moved to that area. That's right, isn't it? Because Mrs. Singh lived there beforehand.
Yeah.
So it's almost like she's after a fresh start.
But the fact that Irene's dropped Rodney in it, like the first... But have you been seeing anyone? Oh yeah, this bloke called Rodney. It's a bit...
She's You never know, I might not have been hurt. They've been going out in places.
Well, maybe, I guess so.
Or he might have given her a right eye then, for all we know.
Now, we've touched up on this already, but Del is about realised, right, I've got to take a beating. And he's just seen something that's motivated him to really get pumped up to fight back. And what was that?
Throwing his camel hair coat on the floor, isn't it? And all the water from the drain spoiled
the one,
it.
The one thing that gets me about this is, though, is he goes back into the pub
later
and he goes, I've cleared the way for you. Mm-hmm. Does that mean he won the fight?
Yeah.
He's won the fight.
That's insane, actually. I never thought about that.
Yeah, Tommy McKay seeing the error of his ways.
That is...
I've opened the path for
that's
you.
A eureka
I've opened
moment.
The door for you.
You don't realise that before.
If you don't think you can cut it.
Well...
Do you honestly not know that?
No, I guess it doesn't almost... It's almost like a paradox. It doesn't make sense for the fact that this Tommy McKay, even if Dale did win a fight, I don't think Tommy McKay's going to give up lightly. Tommy McKay's probably got more henchmen to come back and for a bit more, you know?
Dale's on the street though, isn't he? He's a street fighter, yeah.
Dale has done probably the most brotherly, lovey thing he can do and take a beating and
the
say...
It's the most noble thing you can do for a sibling, isn't it? That probably happened all the time as well, back in the 80s, when it came to street violence.
Or going back further with the crazer around, you're not going to get involved with that.
The police aren't be representing that well in here, are they?
No.
He's done well there, though, boy. Well, Rodney says later on that he was a dirty little fighter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. So, yeah, I just didn't really click the fact that Dale won that.
Have you watched this before, Sam?
I don't know if I have. Back in a nice warm pub at the Nag's Head. The makeup is not too bad, really. Dale looks quite convinced, beating up old dog, doesn't he?
It's really shocking seeing Del Boy in this state, isn't it? Because he's normally sort of high-flying,
dapper,
high-spirited character, isn't he? But to see him like this, it's...
Still put his coat back on, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, his coat doesn't look too bad.
And Del's got too much class to say, this is why I've been beaten up.
Yeah.
I've been beaten up because of your stupid, love-struck relationship with Ira McKay.
He doesn't want to give Rodney the guilt to carry, I don't think, does he? No.
But the fact that Dale said, I paved the way, you can go ahead now, I just don't believe that Tommy McKay, even if Dale got the better of him, would go, fair enough, like, my wife's there for the token now. I think he's got more henchmen he can go to, I'm sure.
Well, you never know, that they might have sort of fought it out to the point where they were just like, hang on a minute, let's just talk it through.
I don't know if psychos who have been in prison for GBH, ABH would talk things through after a fight.
No.
Rodders, guess what I've done for you, Rodders?
Well, if it's another example of your so-called brotherly love, you just forget it, right? As far as I'm concerned, Dil, you're no longer What the bloody hell's happened to you?
It's Del Boy, though, isn't it? Del's not your normal human being.
He's human.
So you can't help but like Del, and I'm pretty sure Del would be good at turning enemies into friends if he needed to. I don't know, it's all speculation, isn't it, about what happened, but presumably he beat them both.
Well, does Tommy McKay think that he's dealt with who he thinks is Rodney, and now actual Rodney can do get in there somehow, but then he'd find out he's called Rodney as well.
Well, either that or Tommy McKay and Irene were going to get divorced anyway.
True, and it's just a respect thing.
And he just wanted to show that, I gave him a hide-in.
Yeah.
And if he's had a bit of a hide-in himself, you don't want anything more to do with him.
Yeah, I think, Tommy, like you said, I agree.
Tommy McKay's given a hide-in for his reputation.
Yeah, I'm divorcing now, but I'm still going to beat this bloke up for him. He's trying it on. But I do remember thinking, God, this Sobe looks alright, doesn't she? It's quite nice, refreshing bird.
I think that's the point, isn't it? She's the polar opposite to Irene. And
she looks fun.
Imagine how annoyed Del Boy would be. He's got himself completely duffed over to save Rodney, and Rodney's just turned around and said, "Oh, me and Irene were never right for each other. This is my new girlfriend."
Just infatuation.
Yeah.
I mean, as far as we know, this is not the first time he's been beaten up for Rodney, and he will of course get beaten up again in later series.
Yeah.
You've been seen out with my wife, Trotter. Guilty or not guilty?
Oh, I was only just having a friendly drink.
But I'm not a friendly geezer. And that kind of thing makes me very angry. I'm going to teach you a lesson you'll remember for the rest of your life, Rodney, my old son.
Listen, let's not be hasty, eh? Rodney? Did you say Rodney?
Yeah, that's right. Rodney Trotter, that's you, innit?
Yeah, I'm Rodney Trotter, yeah.
good.
Now look what you made me do. That was a brand new coat, that was.
But this episode was written in mind of Del and Rodney having a lot of love for one another. Clever little one-liner to end the episode.
Rodney, you're a bloody good eye, didn't they?
So, yeah, again, we're early series. The story arcs aren't that long. We're already done now, aren't we? So we can sort of finalise our comments on that. What would you give that out of 10, Bailey?
I do. I enjoy the episode. I give it an 8. 8 out of 10, I think.
James?
Yeah, I'm going to go 7.6. Not my favourite. I wouldn't really jump to watch it. It'd probably be not in my top 20 in any Wars Lords episode.
It's so integral, though, what goes on in, you know, establishes their relationship, so. His brothers.
It's not as watchable, though, is it?
For the series, I'd give it maybe a 7.
I think it's got a good emotional side to it, but I don't think it's necessarily as fun and slapstick as
fun.
The other episodes.
But it's very important.
What would you give it over the whole series? Not just this series. 4 or 5?
No, for me, like when you've got the 2 or 3 episodes I love, like Yuppie Love, Jolly Boys, the later stuff, they are 9s and 10s.
You wouldn't kick off like if those like 7s as well.
Because I do it by series and overall now, so I understand if you give it an 8, that means you quite like it for that series alone.
Yeah, well, you can't really judge each episode.
Well, you can.
You can,
you can judge
each
like.
Episode. But you can't judge them up against that one in a later series or special. Like that wouldn't compare to Jolly Boys 18, would it?
Of course, but for the series 2, I guess it's a 7 or an 8. It's quite an important factor that we learn a lot about Dale's willingness to take one for the team, as it were, take one for the family. But not a lot, an awful lot goes on other than that. It's just a family loyalty.
Yeah, so that's no greater love done. So our next episode will be The Yellow Peril.
That's probably one of my favourite episodes in the series.
That was one of the first episodes I've watched because I think I got the
with the DVD. Video? Video?
No, yeah, video, you're right.
Christ, we're going back to like the late 80s, early 90s here.
I think we had this video lying around our house.
Many VHS. I still kept the VHS copies, actually.
I've got a couple of VHSs I found.
That's good.
What happened to you?
Me? No, nothing happened to me. Rodney got a bloody good eye, didn't he?
Today, joining us on the Jolly Boys podcast is Only Fools and Horses fan, Sam. How are you doing, Sam?
Hey, Sam.
I'm very well, thank you. Hello, everyone.
Thank you very much for joining us. So, Sam, you got in contact with us, didn't you, through Facebook, or was it Twitter? I can't remember now.
I think it's Facebook, yeah.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
I wanted to get in touch. I've actually never done this sort of thing before, but I just really, really appreciate the podcast and, you know, caught myself laughing away on the train when I was listening to it. And
it really made
me realise how much I love the show. I thought I'd get in touch and say thanks and take the opportunity to, you know, have a little bit of a chat about the best comedy the Britain's
the
ever made, really.
Greatest ever. Well, thank you for your kind feedback, first of all, Sam. And
we're
quite surprised that, well, when we first started out, there was no other Fools and Horses podcast out there that were dedicated to Fools and Horses podcast. So we're glad to have sort of got there and been able to deliver some.
We kind of got there at the right time, didn't we?
Someone else might still do it yet, but we're
hang
doing
on a minute, Sans. I think it's pretty much a year ago around this time.
Oh, yeah, it is, isn't it? It's almost our anniversary, I think, for the podcast.
I can find
out.
Good timing, Sam.
So tell us a bit more about yourself, Sam. How old are you?
Little party, yay.
So I'm 25. I'm from South London. A little bit further south than Peckham, though, so I'm in Sutton. But I've got friends in Tooting and Balham and the kind of places where John Sullivan grew up.
I know that he had
quite a popular show before Only Fools called Citizen Smith, which was set in Tooting.
That's right.
I've caught a couple of episodes of it, but it's something I quite like to get into, just because really my only experience of John Sullivan's stuff is Only Fools.
Yeah.
But I know that he's got quite a lot of other shows and things, and I just think he's an absolute genius. Like what he managed to achieve with Only Fools is just amazing. So I'd like to see what else he's done, really. But yeah, so I'm grew up in South London. I finished uni a couple of years ago. I just started my first job. I'm doing a grad scheme with the civil service. I'm at Ministry of Justice at the moment, so I won't bore you, because if I go into my job, I'll start sounding like Stephen, so that's a risk.
Excellent. And how long have you been a fan of Only Fools and Horses?
Pretty much all my life, really. So, you know, it's always been on TV in the background. And then when I was really quite young, probably 5 or 6, I borrowed a load of VHS cassettes from my granddad.
Not hooking microwaves.
Sorry?
Not hooking microwaves.
No. Not hooking microwaves. luckily, also, these VHS, they weren't all on Betamax, so I was actually able to watch them. And
you got that Chinese kid round to convert them.
That's all right. So I watched a few, and there weren't that many, and each one had like 2 or 3 episodes on it. And I just kind of fell in love with it from such a young age. And then somewhere down the line, I don't know if you guys remember this, but there was a fortnightly magazine DVD collection that went out.
We've got it right now.
I must have been about 7 when it started, and it took over a year to collect, but I got every single one, and they're in my room now. So I ended up watching all the episodes through that, and just every single time it's on TV, I usually flick it on, just because it's always better than whatever else is on. And, you know, it's just because it's always been there and because I'm so familiar with it, it's just, you know, it's got that feel-good factor, that kind of nostalgia type thing. When I went off to uni, I didn't watch it for a few years, and then I kind of forgotten about it. When I came back, I just kind of realised just how good it is and how watchable it is and how much it all holds up after decades, you know?
Absolutely, yeah. I think it's always been there.
So what have you got GCE in then?
Pork.
Unfortunately, not pork. I do have one in maths, and I do have one in art, and a few others as well.
Perfect. Perfect caller.
Going back to the DVD box set, Sam, I believe, I've been told by, I won't mention any names, but the box set that you and I both own, I think that's the only box set which exists now on DVD with the least amount of cuts.
Oh, really? Yeah, that's. I didn't actually realise how much the episodes have been cut down until I went on one of the websites which kind of documents it.
Yeah.
And I was quite shocked, actually. Right. I know there are still some edits, but yeah, it's a really nice set. And unfortunately, I don't have the magazines. I threw those out a few years ago and I'm gutted.
You're pulling my leg!
Oh, that's a shame.
Yeah, I know. Typical. But yeah, it's a really nice little collection to have, actually.
You can, I think you can pick the magazines up off of eBay fairly cheap. That's where I managed to get my box set from.
There were some quite quirky little things in there. It was probably quite fun to put that together.
Yeah, they're amazing. Yeah, there are tons of magazines. They're definitely worth keeping hold of.
I remember buying the first few issues in Smith's, but I stopped collecting them after a while. But I've now got the whole lot from a family friend who's donated them to me. But with John Sullivan's work then, Sam, have you ever watched Just Good Friends or Roger Roger?
No, honestly, I haven't. My only real experience is Only Fools, and I think it's because, you know, there's so many episodes of Only Fools, you never get bored. You can always go back to one you haven't seen in a while. So I haven't really seen any of his other stuff. I haven't seen Green Green Grass, and then all the spin-offs. I haven't seen Rockin' Chips or anything. It's just Only Fools. But your podcast has kind of prompted me to start exploring a bit more, go to a convention at some point, which I've never done. And I'm holding off on the, I really want to see the musical. So the only episode of your podcast I haven't listened to is the review of the musical. I'm going to wait until I've actually seen it.
I'm surprised you've not seen the musical Living so close to it in London.
I just haven't got around to it, and it's a bit expensive, but hope maybe this Christmas we'll see.
What are your preconceived thoughts about the musical, just out of interest?
I've tried to avoid as much information as I can, but I try and go into it with quite an open mind, because I'm aware that, you know, it's not going to be the same as the show. Nothing can be the same as the show. But the fact that you've got these characters again and Jim Sullivan's involved in that kind of thing, I'm looking forward to it. But also, you know, it's a different format. It's a musical, it's on stage and everything. I haven't seen Rockin' Chips, but I've kind of got the same attitude to that. I will eventually get around to watch it, but I'm aware that it's not just a comedy, it's a bit of a drama as well. And I think if you can kind of acknowledge that, then I'm guessing you can probably get into those things a little bit more. Because if you go in thinking it's just going to be an episode of Only Fools, you're always going to come out disappointed, I think. So
I only, this is James here, sorry Sam, I only recently watched Rockin' Chips for the first time.
What did you think?
I thought it was quite good. You could take it's a John Sullivan thing, so it kind of does tie things together quite nicely. And there's some really good references in there. And it does work really, really well. Some people were quite sceptical about Nicholas Lyndhurst playing
Freddie Robdell
in that, but I think it does work quite well.
I wasn't a fan of Rock and Chips. I didn't even finish it.
Marvellous. Like, it's dramatic. It's just drama, isn't it? It's not. I think a lot of people would like it to have been a studio audience based.
Yeah, I appreciate the Easter eggs. I think that's probably the only reason why I'd watch it. But other than that, I think it sort of fell a bit flat for me.
I just thought it was just. I liked it. I mean, Green Green Grass is okay.
Maybe I should give it another go.
There's only a few specials of Rock and Chips. Yeah. Sadly, obviously, John Sullivan died when he was, I think, writing more.
Yeah.
So give it a chance.
James Buckley plays a young Del Boy very, very well, I think.
Yeah. What would you give out of 10, James? Have you seen it all from start to finish?
I have now, very, very recently.
Probably a 10.
No, I don't think it's really on the same scale as Only Fools and Horses, so you can't really compare it to an episode. But as an actual series, I'd probably give it like 7.4.
That's fair enough. I remember finding the laughs being quite cheap, and I thought the same with Green Green Grass. Sorry, John Sullivan, sorry, but I did.
I always liked the idea of. I lost my thread now. I was going to say something not so interesting.
I really liked Roger when I was a teenager.
Yeah, because that guy plays the cinema manager in Rock and Chips. Yeah. He plays Roger. I can't remember his name.
But that was excellent.
Sam, going back to the point where you mentioned you'd never been to a convention before.
Yeah.
Does that mean you've never met any of the actors from Only Fools and Horses?
Unfortunately not. Like my whole experience really has just been watching it through the TV.
Yeah.
I think I would love to meet some of the actors. Unfortunately, the one I think I'd probably, outside of, Dan and Rodney, the one who I'd most like to meet would have been Roger Lloyd-Pack. Because
yes.
I think for me, he, of all the actors in the show, I mean, the casting was superb, but of all of them, I think he was possibly my favourite, possibly the best one.
Yeah.
I don't think, I think a lot of comedies, they've got the stupid character. You know, Blackadder's got Baldrick and Fawlty Towers has got Manuel. But I think what he was so good at as Trigger was being stupid, but you could tell he was thinking. He was trying to figure stuff out. Mm. There was always some cog turning in his brain. Yeah. He was such a good actor, and I just would have loved to have a chat with him. Hopefully I'll get to go to a convention whenever the next one comes along. And
they've had one this weekend, haven't they?
Yeah, we've just missed the convention. I'm not too sure where it was. I remember a listener tweeted us saying that they wanted to come over and say hello and wondered if we were there. But I got a feeling it was probably up north somewhere because we're based in the southwest. So, I didn't even know it was on, to be honest. Going back to Roger Lloyd-Pack, did Tom meet Roger Lloyd-Pack at a previous convention?
He may have done. I've met him, but not through work mainly.
I
bumped into him more.
Remember you saying. I remember I went to London in 2010 for a school trip because I studied photography, and we went to, I can't remember what we were doing in London now. I don't know, just a trip.
To nature.
And I remember coming out of Waterloo Station, and London's busy as it always is, and there's this guy walking towards me wearing like a long grey trench coat, and I looked at him and it was Roger Lloyd-Pack. I couldn't believe it, and I was a bit starstruck, and he looked at me, I looked at him, and he knew that I knew it was him, and I just got the impression that he didn't sort of want to be bothered, so I just let him walk past me. But I really regret it, since he's no longer with us. I wish I stopped and sort of shook his hand. But yeah, that's sort of the closest I ever got to Roger Lloyd-Pack. Tom, did you meet Roger?
No, I didn't. Sadly, no, I didn't.
So you got a convention?
At a convention, but I didn't go to that one. I've been to 2004 Milton Keynes and 2009 with you to Ashland Gate.
Yeah. Yeah, but Sam, you'll love the conventions if you ever do get a chance to go. And another thing which I can speak very highly of is John Chalice's one-man show called Being Boise.
Yeah,
I wasn't aware of this until you had him on the show. That does sound really good. Mm. He's someone else I would love to meet. He sounds like such a lovely guy.
He is, yeah. John, like, I can't say anything nicer about John. He's just he's so generous with his time, but his show's lovely. It's really normally quite intimate because it's normally in quite a small venue, and he just talks about lots of behind the scenes Only Fools and Horses stuff. And there's a great scene. Is it his 40th birthday? 60th birthday, sorry. And there's loads of footage of him in his house, and all the cast from Only Fools and Horses are there. It's just amazing to watch, being a fan of the show.
Brilliant. Yeah, I think I'll definitely try and check that out. I think off the back of listening to your podcast, I'm definitely going to get a little bit more involved in that side of it, because it's the whole kind of community around Only Fools has got so much to offer, and so far I've just kind of been watching it, so yeah, definitely gonna get more out.
It's huge. So tell us what your favourite episode is, Sam.
Oh, don't make me do this. This is a horrible question.
I know, it's a tough one.
I'm actually, funny enough, like, I'm looking at the list of all the episodes now.
Okay.
And... Okay, Jolly Boy's outing is going to have to be up there,
yeah,
obviously.
Yeah.
But everyone seems to say that. I think for me, there's a special place in my heart for Tea for Three.
Okay, great episode, fantastic
yeah.
episode.
Yeah, and the reason I say this is because actually when I was, must have been about 7 or 8, I got given, although I was in like year, I was in primary school, we were given this quite big piece of homework and everyone had to go away and give a presentation, a 5-minute presentation, to the rest of the class on any
okay.
on any subject. And, or any topic, and I picked Only Fools, and
amazing.
It was
amazing. That's so cool.
It was Tea for Three that I gave as an example of a funny scene, and I spoke about Tea for Three and the hand gliding scene and everything.
I bet you get a star for that.
I really like that one. I think the other one for me actually would probably be Stage Fright.
Okay, that's quite controversial. I would have chosen that. I wasn't expecting you to say that at all.
Oh, hello, Eugene.
I love that one, but I think for me that like certain episodes remind me of certain people because they like so Stage Fright reminds me of my grandparents because they loved that final scene of Tony Angelino and everything, and they absolutely loved that. So that I've got like there's yeah I've got a little fun place in my heart for that one. Yeah, the one that reminds me of the other one as well that's like that for me is The Unlucky Winner is. I love that one as well. I think that's the whole. Particularly the scene in the hotel when Rodney's smoking and drinking, and that you know, Dallas, the arcade lore is here. That's just brilliant.
Oh, marvellous.
Excellent. So, there's a question that we ask everyone who calls in, but I'm guessing I know the answer to this already. But if you had to choose the earlier Only Fools and Horses episodes or the later ones, which ones would you go with?
It's so tricky because I think I'm really glad it changed. Because I think, you know, the show had a real longevity. I don't think it would have lasted as long as if they'd have stuck to the same formula.
Agreed,
but
yeah.
That doesn't
yeah.
mean, like, I don't think that means the original formula was bad. I just think as it progressed, you know, I feel like there's the early episodes, which are mainly around the first three, the main three characters. Then the episodes start to get longer. Then you introduce the, you know, the wives and girlfriends. And also that in the later episodes, they were tapping into, like, later pop culture around the, you know, the yuppie thing.
Yeah.
So it's so hard. I think because I love Grandad so much, I'm probably going to verge on the earlier episodes. But if you ask me on another day, I'd probably say the later ones.
That's funny you say that because obviously your favourite episodes are pretty much all the later ones.
Yeah,
When I said, you know, the VHS cassettes I had, they were a lot of the early episodes. So they were the first ones I was introduced to, and the ones I was most familiar with.
It always surprises me how many hardcore fans aren't so keen on the how Fools and Horses introducing wives and girlfriends and family. Surprising how many
so
people.
Important. I thought
it had to happen, definitely, to progress.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah,
sure.
I think. And some of the very best scenes, lines, episodes, all happen later on.
Mm.
I think. I think for me, actually, I'm glad in terms of your podcast, you've got Now to Know Greater Love.
Yes.
And I think the show hit its stride probably at series 2, and it really didn't fall from that stride.
Yeah.
There were a couple of wobbly moments, but once it got through that kind of teething phase of season 1,
yeah.
I just think it was just you know, perfect episode after perfect episode, more or less. The writing is just absolutely superb.
It definitely gets better. For me, like, the storylines become funnier. I think... The question is, do you prefer Albert or Grandad? We love them both, but for me, I think Albert added... Well, Buster Merrifield added a different dimension. The dynamics were that much funnier for me.
Well, I think the Albert, in a way, had the advantage because the characters are already so well-developed
yeah.
that a new character could be carried, which is why I think it's obviously the right thing for Cassandra, Raquel, etc. to be introduced because it's a really established cast already. And when you need to liven it up, don't you?
Isn't it funny how things work out? Because Jim Broadbent was first choice to play Del Boy.
Yeah.
And he said, I would have not gone past a couple of series because he likes to move on and do new projects.
Well, Del Boy, David Jason, rather, was going to stop, wasn't he, after, like, season 3?
Yeah.
Season
he Wants
3.
To Be a Millionaire would have been the last episode.
Yeah, that's right.
Which, well, I mean, not a bad ending, really, if he did make it, but... Obviously, we're glad.
We wouldn't be doing this podcast now, would we, if he had it?
That's true.
Well, yeah. It's like,
it was going to be called Hot Rod, and Rodney was going to continue as the main
Yeah, that's character. It, yeah, that's it.
I
Hot
didn't
Rod.
Know that.
Yeah, that's
I
the thing,
wasn't
yeah.
aware of that.
Yeah.
There you go, you listen to you every day. We'll get on the podcast, Sam.
No, I knew that.
Sam, you can take my place if you want, Sam.
No.
You can come and sit in the hot seat.
I think it was more an idea in the works kind of thing. But yeah. I don't think it was dead set, but
yeah.
But yeah, so should we do a quiz?
Yeah, let's do the quiz, Sam. All good for the quiz?
Yeah,
is it a No Greater Love quiz or is it a general quiz?
It's a general knowledge quiz written by myself in
okay.
Capital A.
So today you're going to be facing James, I think.
Hello. Ladies and gentlemen, we've got a quiz once again. We've got caller Sam playing Jolly Boy's James.
Hello.
Eyes down for a full house somewhere. Off and running.
This is Gold Rush.
This will be a general knowledge-based quiz, so for the listeners back home, it won't be around No Greater Love as such. Okay, I'm going to hand over to Quizmaster Jolly Boy Bailey.
Hi guys, so this is how the quiz is going to work. So you both take in turns answering a question. If you don't know the answers to the question, you can give it to the other party to answer. If they do get it right, unfortunately you don't get a point, but you do get the integrity of knowing the answer. Okay, so who wants to go first? I reckon we should let Sam go first.
Yeah, go on Sam, you go first.
Sam, are you feeling confident, my Sam?
Well, we'll have to wait and see.
All right, here we go.
My April's pouting a little bit.
A good one. Okay, question one for Sam. What was the name of Rodney's new girlfriend in the episode Second Time Around?
God, that's a good one.
So this is the new girlfriend. She is in the end scene of that episode.
So, it is stuck in the back of my brain.
Is that definitely Second Time Around?
Yeah, definitely Second Time Around.
In the Second Time Around of the episode with...
When Del Boy gets engaged again and they flee off to Auntie's house.
Hang on a minute, Sam.
Do you mean...
Oh, sorry, I mean No Greater Love.
You're pulling my legs, Sam.
That's Zoe.
Yes, it is. Well done. You got it right.
You would have bloody struggled if you hadn't.
I did write this quiz really early in the morning.
That's a testament to us knowing that, because I just go.
So I get a point for realising you said the wrong question.
No, Sam got the point. He said Zoe. Okay, question two for James.
You dirty little twonk.
Taking the Melfi git. Right, question two for James. What were the two items that Dale refused to leave Ridgemere House without in the episode A Touch of Glass?
You sure it's the right episode?
100% Dan.
Can you repeat the question?
What were the two items that Dale refused to leave Ridgemere House without in the episode A Touch of Glass?
I ain't leaving without so much as a... I think we've done this question before as well, you know.
Maybe. Testing your memory, James.
Oh, a cucumber sandwich.
Ooh.
And...
something else.
Oh, you're so close. Sam, do you know the answer? But don't say it if you do know it. Do you know it?
No, well, I knew cucumber sandwich. I can remember the other half.
James, I can see it rolling around in James's head.
It's not that hard either.
You see at the back of your brain there.
Stuck in the back of it.
Oh, is it?
Make a guess.
Oh, God.
It's going to be some posh drink, isn't it?
A cup of Earl Grey.
Yes!
Oh, I pulled that one out! Get her in! Come on!
1-0.
I'll put my clothes back on now.
Okay, question three for Sam.
Two.
One
Sam's second question.
Question two for Sam.
Yeah, but technically question three overall.
Yeah, well, yeah.
All right, question two for Sam.
Question nine for James.
Okay, what is the full name of Dale's girlfriend in the episode Yesterday Never Comes? James is looking at me like I'm getting the episode James wrong again, but I'm not. This one's right.
I know it.
So,
I've got it.
Are you Googling it, buddy, James? I thought there's some typing going on.
No, I'm not. I'm getting... It's between one of two. Get it right.
Go on then, we need the full name. So
was it Miranda Davenport?
Yes, it was, Sam. Good work.
Yes. Good the one. The other one I was thinking was Miss McKenzie. It wasn't her. That was.
Oh, who's Miss McKenzie?
Very good.
Right. Okay. Question
two
for James. What was for?
Sorry, carry on.
What was Buster Merrifield's real name?
Buster Merrifield's real name?
Yep. Well, it was Buster, innit?
Oh, God. They kept that secret, didn't they, until...
Yes. Do you know this one, Sam?
I don't.
Isn't it like...
I'll give you a clue. It's, I believe it's the same name as his dad.
Oh, well, I don't know his dad, do I?
That's helpful. No. Looks down Clatter Road.
Is it like Roy...
No, it's not Roy.
I don't know that.
Sam, you're going to have a stab in the dark with this one, Sam?
I don't know, Daniel. God knows.
Tom, you know the answer.
I can't possibly
think. Oh, I got it.
Troy. I've seen it written down before, but I couldn't tell you.
Okay, no worries. The answer is Harry. His name was Harry Merrifield.
Belafonte.
Very good.
Question three.
Okay, question three for Sam. What was the name of Trigger's niece and her partner?
Oh, you should know this one, Sam.
Oh, yes, I should. It was, oh no, this is going to be embarrassing if I get this wrong.
Take your time.
Lisa?
Yes.
And Andy?
Yes.
Oh, right, come on, get me impatient here for the off.
Yeah, all right, that'd be done though, does he? Love that scene.
No.
Okay, next question for James.
Yeah.
What was the name of the old friend who Mike met at the halfway house in the episode Jolly Boys Outing?
I know.
Talk about a bad penny.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sam, have you got this one?
I don't. I just remember he doesn't wash his hands.
No, yeah, he right. doesn't.
We've got to stop meeting like this, Michael. Oh, what was his... Stuck in the back of my... Go on, just think of that scene.
I'm thinking about it, it's going around my head. It's torturing me now.
Right, give the answer then.
I'm going to have to hurry you, James.
This is great for my...
I can't remember.
...background music.
Yes.
I can't remember.
You're going to just have a stab in the dark.
Dave? No.
I'm afraid that's the wrong answer. Sam, what about you, mate? Have you got any idea?
I could hear him say Mike, but I can't remember what Mike says to him.
Right. If I say to you both...
Oh, I know it! Name. Can I say it though? Is it to Eddie?
Eddie who?
Grey?
No.
Oh, Green?
No.
So it's Eddie something, do we know, Sam?
Harris.
Begins with a C.
Carter?
No.
Curtis?
No.
Just give up.
No, I've not got it. Sorry.
Okay, it's Eddie Chambers.
Oh, Eddie Chambers. Eddie knew it.
I got it. Right, by the way, it's 3-1 so far, and if Sam, you get this next one, you've won.
Sam, you're cleaning the floor with him, Sam.
You are, Sam.
Okay, the next question is for Sam, and I kind of spoiled this already, but I'll give you the question anyway. What street did Lennox Gilby's mum live at?
Oh.
Clutter Road.
Yes.
Stitch up. Absolute stitch up.
In that with
some
you.
Some of my feet
a bit. Go on,
okay, next question for James.
We take for pride.
You could lose just a mere 4-3 if Sam gets it.
This is a really tough question, and I completely understand if you don't get it right, but I wrote this quiz with Rain Man Tom in mind. Okay?
Right, okay.
What is the registration plate of the Trotter Van?
PHV.
No, it's a D.
DHT.
Doesn't it change?
They've got a main one.
Oh, yeah, actually it does. That's null and void, Sam.
Officially, they've got the main one. It's a D reg.
Yeah, this is the main one.
I don't know it.
James, you were close with what you were saying there.
Is it my question?
Yeah.
It is my question, yeah. Okay. I thought I just started answering Sam's question.
I never would have got this.
Is it like, I don't know. I think it's 902H is the last...
Something like that, isn't it?
So you got the first bit right just a minute ago, James.
DHV?
Yeah.
Is that right? Is it 902H or something like that?
No, the answer is DHV... 938D.
Yeah, not O, D.
So yeah, you're all very close, very good tries.
Half point.
Okay, next question for Sammy, you old slag. Right. What trade had John Sullivan been working in when he thought of the idea of the iconic Del Boy?
What, sorry, say that again?
What trade had John Sullivan been working in when he thought of the idea of the character Del Boy?
God. Wait, he was working at the BBC, wasn't he?
No, it was before this. He was a tradesman doing something.
I don't know. I'm not sure on that one, sorry.
Okay, James, you got any idea?
A market trader?
No, he wasn't a qualified electrician.
Oh, good.
He thought of the idea in the character of Del Boy. Okay, the next question is for James. What was the original name of the sitcom before it was Only Fools and Horses?
I should know this. I know this, it's just not there now.
I don't think I would have got this.
Can you verify to the listeners that I've written my answer down and it's correct?
Yes, Tom has written down the right answer. Sam, do you know the answer to this one, mate?
I've heard it before, I can't remember it now. I know it was shorter and punchier.
Hang on, mate, just give me one minute.
No, I can't remember, sorry.
Okay, I'll give you both a clue.
Can I just have one more minute before I hand over? That's still my question, technically.
That's not how it works, you've got 10
There's
seconds.
There's nothing in the rules about clues.
Yeah, I know, it's a Bic.
Aren't you ready yet?
No, go on, I'll give up.
Okay, I'll give you both a clue. First one to get to it gets the point. It's a slang term for money.
I just pretty much told you then.
Is it dosh?
No, keep going.
Bunts.
We could be here all night.
I don't know. Why do you say bunts for?
Are you ready for the answer?
Readies.
Yeah.
Yeah, the answer was readies.
Readies.
Okay.
Point for me then, yeah?
No, point for you. Okay, the last question for you, Sam.
Oh, there's another question.
Well, this is a bonus question, but I'm going to give it to Sam anyway to see
what
he gets.
Well, because he's got enough bloody points.
Okay, the last question for Sam, or the bonus one. Oh, I can give the bonus one to both of you. First one to shout out the right answer gets the point.
Yeah.
Okay, which actress was John Sullivan's first choice for playing
Jim
Cassandra?
I thought you said Del Boy.
I know the character. I can't remember the actress's name. It was Nervous Nerys.
Sigourney Weaver.
It wasn't. Yes. It wasn't. It's a really iconic supermodel.
Oh really?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I don't know at all. Then sorry.
I'll give you a clue. She's in Austin Powers.
Heather Graham.
No. Heather Graham.
Jim Broadbent.
Sorry, what did you say, Sam?
Liz.
I said Beyonce.
Not Beyonce. It's an English actress.
Elizabeth Hurley.
Yes, Elizabeth Hurley. Well done, James.
Well played, Sam.
So the scores
Thanks,
are,
guys.
What have we got? One,
don't mean
two,
so scores,
three,
just
four.
Say so Sam won. That's fine.
It's four.
Yeah, I got one.
Well, yeah, no, technically 4-2 because James got Liz Hurley at the end.
Yeah, that's right. Lucky old James.
Yeah, well done. Yeah, well done, Sam.
This is Gold Rush.
Well played, Sam.
That's really good. Cheers.
Good work. Thank you so much for coming on the show. And before you leave us,
yes.
We asked all of our guests, including all the actors that have been on the show previously, to give us their best impressions of characters from the show.
This is the bit I was dreading the most.
Everyone dreads it. Just embrace it.
I don't know if it's going to be a very good impression, but I can give a nice quote.
Go on then, go for it.
It is going to be from Little Lennox.
Oh, go on then.
That's been popular, isn't it?
They seek him here, they seek him there. Those policemen seek him everywhere. Is he in heaven? Is he in hell? That damned elusive...
Very good.
Amazing.
Very good. Thank you. Great stuff, Sam.
Thank you so much, Sam, for taking the time to speak to us.
And your kind words for you throughout.
Yeah, thank you.
You gave us some lovely feedback, so we'll crack on and improve as ever. Hopefully.
And we'd love to hear back from you once you go to a convention and once you've seen the musical, because we'd love to know your thoughts about it, and you will be amazed. I don't think our episode about the review of the show spoils too much, but...
Okay, maybe I'll give it a listen then.
There's no spoilers in there, so you're right.
Well, it's only about a little bit about what happens with the story, but we're trying not to go into it too much because we're aware that people who haven't seen the show... might listen to it, and I went to watch it. I didn't know anything about it, and I was blown away. It was amazing. It was really surreal to watch, like you, if you've been watching Only Fools and Horses for so long, and you're seeing it played out live in front of you. It's just a fantastic experience.
Yeah, it's great.
Brilliant. Okay, I'll definitely be back in touch. And if you ever need someone else, if you're ever sure for someone to come on, then give me a bell. And,
thanks, Sam.
We probably will be. Yeah,
absolutely, mate.
Thanks, Sam.
Cheers, Sam.
Thanks a lot. I'm really looking forward to the upcoming episodes because you've got a lot of good episodes to watch. So
Cheers, mate.
Really looking forward to listening.
Thanks, mate. All the best.
Bonjour.
Night, night. Love you.
See you, guys.
See you, mate. Bye-bye.
Thanks very much for listening to the latest Jolly Boys podcast. Next time we'll be covering The Yellow Peril, and we're hoping to be joined by actor Nabil Elouabi, who played Gary in Strangers on the Shore.
Nabil was trying to join us, I think it was last week when we tried recording, but he was actually at the Only Fools and Horses musical, which is cool, so we'll have to make sure we have a chat with him about that and ask him for his thoughts.
Yeah, I look forward to speaking to him actually, because he was obviously part of that very later end of Only Fools and Horses where there was a 5 or 6 year gap, and just want to know if he knew of any differences between how they filmed it originally to how they brought it back in the early 2000s. And
yeah, he's a very successful actor, isn't he? He did quite a few years EastEnders.
He was in Mad Dogs, one of my favourite short drama series.
Yeah, and he seems like a very, very nice chap, so I'm really looking forward to chatting to him.
He's an iconic character in Only Fools and Horses, isn't he?
Yeah.
Actually, he's only one word.
He's probably the one of the highlights of the last three episodes that were broadcast.
It was simple, wasn't it? It was a simple recipe to John Sullivan's comedy writing, but it just worked so well, didn't it? We'll talk about that when we have Nabil on the show. But we'd like to thank you, all four of us, as a collective, for all the lovely comments and support you give us on Twitter and Facebook. If any of you would like to get in touch to be on the show, just to chat about Only Fools and Horses or to take part in a quiz, feel free to contact us on Twitter, OFA_podcast. Mm-hmm. And we're also on Facebook. If you just type into the search bar, there's Jolly Boys Podcast. We are on Instagram, but unfortunately, Ed isn't here to give away the handle. So, Tom?
Only_fools_horses.
I think we're going to do like a Twitter live quiz again, aren't we, in our next one?
That's quite fun.
Yeah, we did a spontaneous live Twitter quiz today, just to see how well it go down. And I think we had about 30-odd viewers, which is good. So
300.
Well, 300 views all in all. But when we broadcast live at the time, I think there were about 30 people watching us. But next time, we give you a bit more of an advance and we'll write some specific questions. So stick around for that.
One last thing. I just want us all to say our favourite moment from the last episode. Bing.
Oh, God. Can you come back to me?
James?
It's too big, man. It's my favourite bit.
I just love the idea that Dale took a beating for his brother.
Great moment.
I think mine's got to be the scene at the bar where Rodney's sobbing behind him in the barmaid says, "What's up with him?" Or some old tart giving him in the boot. Just You're not expecting Dale to say that. You're expecting Dale to say, "Oh, poor Rodney, he's lost the love of his life, and you know there's no consoling him, and get him a drink." It's brilliant. It's the unexpected, which always gets you with Only Fools and Horses. And I wish I could erase my memory and rewatch Only Fools and Horses again film my reaction to it all.
For a humorous moment, I liked Dale's unsympathetic burst of laughter when he learned that he was in love.
Yeah.
We've heard this before. Even Grandad joins in, doesn't he? Do me a favour!
Wouldn't that be a cool concept, though, if you could somehow digitally wipe certain parts of your brain to re-experience things again? Would you do it to watch Only Fools and Horses again?
That's for another podcast, isn't it?
I would, but then you've taken away your memory of watching as a young sprog, aren't you, in reality? Like something like Breaking Bad, I would, because that's in the last few years. But you do think that, don't you? Like, I could watch this again.
Imagine they're watching Only Fools and Horses episode and not knowing what's going to happen.
But if you're... There's a lot of people would take offence watching it again, they wouldn't they now? I mean, I don't think I would, but... I think, oh, God, sit down. Oh, God.
Yeah, it's a bit inappropriate now, isn't it, in 2019? But anyway, let's wrap up the show. Thanks again for listening, guys.
Cheers, that's a good laugh. Good laugh. And until next time, bon bouche.
Yo.
Bonjour.
We got some half-price crack ties, some miles and miles of carpet tiles, TVs, deep freeze, and David Bowie LPs. All games, old chains, lots of names, and out of push, and Trevor flies the track suits, and from a Mrs. Shepherd. Push, 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 push. No income tax, no VAT. No money back, no guarantee. Black or white, rich or broke, we'll cut prices at a stroke. God bless Rookie Street, Viva Rookie Street, long live Rookie Street. Say magnifique Rookie Street, magnifique Rookie Street. Rookie Street.